Welcome back to Animosity, where we watch the shows so you don't have to. Today I'm here with Baron.
That's me.
Damn right it is. And today we are talking Owl House episode. Totally not checking my phone. What's the episode called? Help me.
Follies at the Coven Day Parade.
I knew it was a long one. I knew it.
Yep, first episode of 2B.
Mm-hmm. Hype. Owl House is back, baby. Thank God. The hiatus was too long.
Too long.
I mean, I started watching Owl House after season one had fully aired. So I didn't experience the season one hiatus. But if that's what this is like, I feel bad for everybody.
I was there for it.
Oh, you poor soul.
It was hard.
You poor soul. Poor soul.
Yeah, but I can definitely say that this last hiatus, it hurt a lot more than the first one.
Definitely, yeah. Ending with, Eclipse.
Yesterday's Lie.
Eclipse Lake, Yesterday's Lie, you know, stuff like that. Definitely. Like,
right.
But I think we got a strong return back. Not as strong as I admittedly had hoped that we would get back, but we got a strong return back.
Yeah, we did.
Honestly, why don't you start with the episode? Honestly, what because I don't remember most of it because I watched it a while ago.
All right, so the first thing I want to draw attention to is the sort of how, just to make sure that we're still with it, they immediately get to the sort of fallout, if you will, of the end of Yesterday's Lie. And of course, in that moment, we get to see more Canon Lumity, which is great.
Oh my God, they're so cute, this episode. They're so cute.
Mm-hmm. And of course, and the Amity learning Spanish, albeit in a clunky way. Oh man, that...
Amity.
I think my heart was pretty much melted when I heard that.
Amity.
It was Amity.
Download Duolingo. Like, come on. Download the Boiling Isles version of Duolingo.
There's already been a minor Duolingo Owl House collab on Twitter, so.
Exactly. Make it canon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they already hinted at Hootie X Duos, so why not?
Missed opportunities, honestly.
Yeah, but I still appreciate how they made her knowledge of Spanish is based on fragmented human relics.
That's amazing.
That was a great detail.
Yeah, honestly, love that.
I will give mad props to the show writers for actually handling the relationship in a way that is both very healthy and very realistic.
Absolutely, like they're trying, they're putting it forward, they're being cuddly and cute while not being too like you want to puke looking at them. Definitely, I really got a perfect mix. We got a loose kiss Amity this time on the cheek, nod back, references. Love that. My heart melted a little bit, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then moving on to the part after kind of adorably Ida picks up Luz from school. And then we get a minor lore dump on, of all people, Kikimora, which I found was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, honestly, kind of forgot she existed.
Yeah, because Mella Lee, Kikimora's voice actress on Twitter, and during a Q&A, I believe with Cartoon Universe, she did say that we would get to see Kikimora's sort of like backstory or a deeper aspect to her character, but I didn't expect it to come so soon. And not only that, but for such a thing to be leveraged so soon.
Honestly, like, that was fast.
The fact that they show us that this soon means things are going to start kicking into high gear pretty soon.
Definitely. I predict, like, something big's gonna go down soon. Like, there's gonna be, like, maybe a big fight. We're gonna maybe see Hunter switch sides a little more, considering one of the April episodes themes, because those were leaked on Twitter, is diving into Hunter's backstory.
Oh, that's gonna be something to witness.
It'll be that'll be definitely interesting. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Hunter. I just don't, which is gonna get me hate. I know, but I don't really care.
I really like Hunter, I do understand why you have such a viewpoint. He is a bit divisive.
Not even that. It's like, my stance on Hunter is, okay, cool, knight character, sure, adding in very little, let's be fair here, giving, I think Hunter was added in to give the fandom someone else to kind of theorize over, rather than Lou, Zambi, and Ida, and things like that. Just adding another character for outside of the actual show development purposes. That's what Hunter feels like, at least to me. And I would much rather get more information on Amity or Ida or even like someone like Lilith, but like Hunter just, it doesn't do much for me. I know I'm alone on that aspect.
I can understand why you feel that way. Yeah, even as someone who likes Hunter, there isn't really, in terms of adding to the overall narrative, I'm still having like trouble determining what his place in said narrative is supposed to be, and that's coming from someone who really likes him.
Yeah, it just seems like a thrown in character and like a second thought.
Considering we only got like a glimpse of, we only started seeing his character, and I believe it was episode 6 of 2A. So that was, oh God, I can't remember the name.
Oh, don't even. If that's episode 6, it was for Fear of the Key. F-E-A-R-T started with an H.
Yeah, I don't remember, but
it was Seek the Key. Same thing.
The episode where they reveal his given name, considering it took until like that long for us to get
Hunting Talisman,
like more information. Yeah, Hunting Talisman. Even though it's, considering it took them that long after he had been in the show since the first episode of season 2.
That's only 6 episodes.
The fact that they took that amount of time to really bring him into the narrative, it's concerning, it's just a little bit confusing, because I'm not sure what their like plan is for him.
Yeah, definitely.
But back to this episode and Kikimora. So we learned that Kikimora is suffering from the classic inner conflict of having to essentially decide between her professional duties and her home life. So we see at the beginning, Luz is eavesdropping on her calling, apparently her mother, on her bird phone, and she wants to be able to return to what is implied to be like her family or ancestral home, she can't because of the obligations from her job. And so in the later devised plan to rescue Rain, Luz decides to leverage that, and which I thought was an interesting move, considering when I was watching that in the moment, I thought to myself that that plan could easily go poorly because it's Kikimora, and even in universe, Ida pointed out that that part of the plan was a massively bad idea.
Yeah, that's a classic example of Luce having a morality that is way too high. Like, you
yeah.
bring your ethics yeah, so
like that's,
down.
That's like wrapping around to like the show's conflict, or not conflict per se, but rather like the dichotomy between the sort of like overall very cynical form of thinking that's prevalent in the Boiling Isles versus Luce's relentless optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where, like, after just, like, even talking to Kikimora is sobbing her eyes out, and Luz genuinely looks like she wants to now try to help Kikimora as part of, you know, kill two birds with one stone for her plan to rescue Rain.
Who's also here. Rain's also here. Rada shippers, you're welcome.
Right. Rada. I thought it was Rida.
It's Rada, because Rain and Ida. Rada.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But it was. We're not here to talk about the pronunciation of ship names. So
yeah.
So Rain's state. It's
drugs.
Oh boy, they look like a lot of. I mean, yeah, you're kind of right on that.
It's drugs. It's all drugs. It's always drugs.
It's interesting, like when Rain got captured at the end of Ida's Requiem, I definitely thought to myself then, oh, they definitely are gonna get like brainwashed or something, considering what we've seen of what the Emperor's Coven does, they absolutely probably would not tolerate any sort of dissent, especially because due to Rain's position, they are an instrumental key in the Emperor's endgame, so to speak. And so it would make sense within their own plan to keep Rain obedient in a way. Now, how the exact nature of their brainwashing is yet to be shown, but it's implied to be closely related to a new character that got introduced into this episode.
Yep.
Terra Snapdragon, who is said to be the head witch of the plant coven.
Everyone's hippie aunt, essentially.
Evil hippie aunt.
I wouldn't say evil. I would not say evil. Devoted to Bellos, yes. The way, I don't believe the coven heads per se are inherently morally bad people. Their devotion towards Emperor Bellos and to not getting considered a wild witch or whatever, that is what drives their actions.
That is a fair interpretation, and I will buy that. Though I will point out that the voice actress who did Terra, I'm not sure if this is supposed to be a meaningful connection, but she, if you're familiar with DC Comics, she voiced the character of Amanda Waller in the Telltale Batman games.
Telltale died. Telltale made a massive misplay and killed themselves, essentially.
And I'm not sure if that's supposed, and I'm not supposed, I'm not sure if they purpose, if that's supposed to be a meaningful, connection or whatever, but I think it was just worth pointing out. But it was shown that it is possible, heavily implied, that Terra is the one responsible for sort of like watching over or maintaining Rain's brainwashing through some sort of, like you said, drugs.
Not necessarily true, because as described in the episode, friggin' Plant Face's goal is to watch over Kikimora. Rain is just kind of the side project.
Because that is true.
I do think it was Bellos was the one that was like, went to the Covenant and be like, "Hey, random question, do you have any drugs that can essentially put people in a constant weed high?" And Tara was like, "Yeah, I do." And it's like, "Great, you're gonna give these to Rain and you don't have a choice." And Tara was like, "Okay," and doesn't give a shit. And that's
Yeah.
how that went down.
So, and I would just like to point out certain the important aspects that I noticed in Rain's brainwashing. So, for the most part, it appears that they have appears. That's like my key word here. It appears that they have all their sort of mental faculties together. So they don't have the like stereotypical traditional appearance of being brainwashed, but it is explicitly said that Rain doesn't even remember the events of Ida's Requiem. So
Yeah, I mean, it's basically when a character is brainwashed or under some sort of mind control, there's usually always some sort of visual representation of that. The most famous example that I can think of is being a Horde Prime clone where your mind is being controlled, you have a chip, your eyes are green, and your motives are changed. We don't
yeah.
see any of that with Rain. There is zero
Right.
difference to someone that isn't. If you're watching the it with your sound off, no closed captions, you would have zero idea that Rain has been brainwashed, which is something you can't say for other shows that have brainwashing aspects. So I do think that's interesting to point out that there is zero indication of brainwashing aside from
Right.
audio
So
cues.
based on like what I've seen with Rain and their behavior, here's like my personal theory. This may or may not get deconfirmed with the coming episodes, but my theory is they haven't gotten brainwashed per se, but rather they simply had a large chunk of their memories erased. So their memories have been erased to sort of before Rain came up with the idea to rebel against the Emperor. So they have been, in terms of like the progression of their mental time, they are now sort of in a state pre-rebellion Rain, where Rain is at a point where they are still loyal to the Emperor, but is clearly still harboring feelings for Ida. Like, if you recall, I'm not sure again if this is a meaningful connection or not, but if you recall the flashback that Ida had with Rain in Knock, Knock, Knocking on Hootie's Door, where
Yeah.
Rain tearfully said that they were going to join the Bard Coven.
Yeah.
You and so like that so like in that part there, in that flashback, Rain obviously is not overly happy with having to break up with Ida then, but at so that's probably like the point sort of to where their memories have been erased to. So they're at a point mentally where they're still loyal, fully loyal, if you will, to the Emperor, but is still
Yeah.
how do you say wistful about Ida, and their reaction when Ida shows up again, and his mention that it's been years since they've seen her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like,
So potentially what we'll see is that the characters in universe will probably come to the same conclusion that I just did, and they'll do something or other to try to restore Rain's memories.
Season finale, question mark?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Definitely.
And so like moving on from there, then you get to the actual the plot to save Rain, the unfortunately doomed from the start plot, considering the reveal later of the nature of Rain's brainwashing. So we get to see we get like a 10-second cameo of Edric Blight. God, that was great.
Did we? I think we did, yeah, honestly.
Yeah, we did. He's selling dubiously legal fireworks to King in a back alley.
Oh yeah, right. Oh, and then we get the quote, King, are these legal? And he's like, would that make you more or less willing to buy them?
And clearly it made him more likely to buy them, so.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I want
to. Even if it was just for cameo, it's nice to see Ed again.
Honestly, it's considering we've only had fandom stuff to go off of, it's nice to see Edric and hopefully Amir as well in context where they are not being shipped as dating each other. Welcome to the Owl House fandom. We're fucking weird here. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, like, it definitely, I think the whole, because the way it works is they were going to capture Rain and Kikimora, but fake capture Kikimora so Kikimora can go see her family. That was the whole plan. And they capture Rain so that Ida can get to be with Rain again. You know? That was the whole thing. It doesn't work because, of course, it doesn't. And we just get to see King and Hootie fail to pilot a float and then end up Hootie haywire and speeding down the goddamn highway.
Like, yeah, that was nice to see.
Love it when Hootie goes crazy, honestly. It's... Hootie is a hated character, but a good hated character.
Oh yes. Speaking of Hootie, are we going to talk about skinless Hootie or no?
Skinless Hootie. I mean, I'm not really sure if what? My train of thought just out of my head. What?
I've been struggling to try to understand Hootie's biology, and that opening scene just made it even more confusing.
Yeah, good luck until you try and tackle Eminem's biology. That, like, actually, there's a food theory on it. Like, it's, anyway, not relevant, but still, it's interesting. I don't even want to worry about Hootie's biology, because Hootie is the Owl House, but can detach from the Owl House.
But he also appears to have a, I'm using this term very loosely, a skeleton.
Yeah.
And he can just take his, and he can just casually take his, and again, I'm using this term loosely, skin off.
Yep.
And what? Does he launder it? Does he clean it?
I don't think we're gonna find out.
Whatever. Hootie is just, what, a big, bully accurate angel at this point?
I think so, yeah. Something at a Hasbin hotel. I mean, if...
Hootie continues to be just an unknowable eldritch horror. And so then we move to the actual plot put into motion. So they infiltrate the parade with their own homemade parade float. They quickly make themselves scarce, fake kidnap Kikimora, grab Rain, and start hoofing it in their respective directions.
Yep.
But Ida, upon her reunitation with Rain, that's when things immediately start to go south, and we realize that the plan to rescue Rain is not going to work, because again with Rain essentially in a very nice way, a way that avoids any sort of info dumping, sort of showing what has been done to them mentally, where, and Ida,
yeah,
that was really difficult to watch, just seeing Ida's just her despair in that scene. It was really difficult to watch.
Absolutely. It was a tough scene, honestly.
Yeah, because props to Wendy Malick for her acting in that scene. That was
absolutely perfect. The voices in the show are perfect.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, it cuts to Luce's escape with Kikimora, but we quickly find out Miss Snapdragon is in hot pursuit. But who jumps out of the shadows to assist but Amity.
I mean, also, can we just say who do you think would win in a fight, Terra or Willow?
Let's see, considering the episode straight up showed us Willow pumping iron.
Yes, honestly, which Willow, lesbian. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. I had seen just a crap ton of memes of Willow just spends most of her free time just working out, getting buff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, all I'm saying is Willow and Luce, I ain't never seen two pretty best friends.
Mm-hmm. And I will like to mention the way I do like the sort of follow up. I do like the follow up from Willow's memories from the first season, where we're actually seeing the reconciliation between Amity and Willow properly.
Definitely, yeah.
And the way Amity goes to Willow for advice on handling the things she's noticing with Luz that we as the audience know are from the wake of yesterday's lie.
Definitely, yeah. Like,
and the part where Willow just calmly asks Amity to braid her hair, that was adorable.
Oh my god, like I was ready for, like, whenever someone says you got to do something for me, I'm ready for it to go to somewhere that can't be shown on a Disney show. But because it's Willow, of course it was braid hair. Like, of course it was. It was a cute scene.
I also like how it just snapped from it. First shows us Willow just lifting weights, being as almost like stereotypically manly as possible, and then not even 45 seconds later, she's asking Amity to braid her hair.
I mean, that's just Willow. I love Willow so much. Such an underused character.
Yeah, but considering what we've seen in the promo, she may be getting more screen time in the future.
Thank you. Thank fucking God. I love Willow. Deserves so much more.
Like, yeah, perhaps they heard our pleas to see more Willow.
I feel like if they didn't show more Willow, though, there would be even more protests outside Disney than there already are. Mm-hmm. Disney walkout today. Oh yeah.
And so it sets up that position of Willow for the story of her being like a sort of second confidant for Amity, aside from Luz, of course.
Yeah, and I definitely think we needed to see that, considering Amity and Willow's connection in the past is much right. Like, it was a weird connection, and all derived from Amity having abusive parents. But it's definitely good to see them rekindling now that Amity's setting hopefully more boundaries with the parents. Which,
right,
you love to see it.
And again, it's the that scene exemplifies the writers are taking great care that for the relationship between Luz and Amity, they're keeping it healthy, but again, keeping it realistic as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, yeah. So we see Rain, the whole Rain operation completely fail. Like, it just does not work at right. all.
And in that scene, I'd like to mention it. It shows us another facet of Terra. If we're going to see her again in the future, her skill, how she was able to manipulate Kikimora into backstabbing Luz after she had given great help to her, and once Kikimora realized that Terra had just played her like a fiddle, that look of absolute regret on Kikimora's face was extremely telling to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kikimora will do anything for a promotion.
What you said, even if Terra isn't evil per se, she is definitely willing to be extremely cunning in order to be loyal to the Emperor and maintain that cohesion within his like inner circle, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Kikimora, I feel like Kikimora is best compared. No, actually, I'm wrong about that. I'm trying to compare Kikimora to someone. I can't think of anyone. Never mind. It's Kikimora's motives definitely are not hidden at all. Like, all cares about is a promotion and will literally give up everything to get that promotion.
Right. And showing her like regret afterwards was important because it's highlighting, I think it's sort of this episode sort of highlighted to shift Kikimora's change in the overall like narrative structure. Like before, Kikimora was sort of like the, depending on your viewpoint, she was either the villain you love to hate or the villain that was just absolutely hilarious in everything she did.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so the marking of that shift in her narrative position, I think they did that really well in this episode. Because it's very obvious that she's going to become much more important going forward.
Definitely, definitely.
I don't know enough to say how, but I will say with a good amount of certainty, she's getting elevated in terms of her importance.
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's great to see that. I think it's definitely great to see that.
Oh yeah, and can we talk about more about the assist from Amity?
It was so good, honestly. They match so well together.
Right, and we gotta talk about Skater Amity.
Yes.
I don't know enough to say this with certainty other than just a headcanon, but it's my personal view that skateboarding is not native to the Boiling Isles, and Luz introduced that skill to Amity.
Definitely, like, and there probably is some like fucked up Boiling Isles version of skating.
A fucked up version of skateboarding, yeah, but that's like my, yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
And then like the final point of discussion, the final scene where in his full in his full Horde Primey way, Belos gives an announcement via giant holographic head.
And shows his face. And everyone... His true face.
No, you go first.
He shows his true face to a resounding... Everyone was just like, eh. It was perfectly executed.
But the wording of his the classic villainous new era speech was I'm gonna pick a few things out of it. He mentions explicitly, possibly sincerely or not, that he wore the mask because he was afraid to show his face for the probably superficial reason of he was ashamed of how he looked or what the damage to his face represented.
Yeah, it was a lie.
That scene was clearly meant to show the sort of dominating influence that Belos has over the populace of the of the Blowing Isles. It's like that. Are you familiar with Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely coming off as a very Palpatine-esque character. He's in the highest position of the land, and he's very good at talking. So it's definitely established that. And considering he even gave us the explicit time limit of the Day of Unity, whatever that might be, is in 1 month from that in-universe day. So now, with whatever they're going to do going forward, we have an in-universe time limit now.
Yep, 1 month, which is at maximum 31 episodes. But we all know that it ain't gonna reach that point.
Mm-hmm. It's the typical new era speech. He talks about the Day of Unity being the building of a new utopia that is, quote, free of wild magic.
Yeah, that's kind of a conflict, considering we're on the side of wild magic, or supposed to be, at least. If you support Belos, get the fuck out, honestly.
Right, and the main thing I want to pick out is there is still very little to indicate what the Day of Unity actually is. It's heavily implied to involve creating a portal to Earth, but we're not entirely sure what that may entail, considering Belos's vague speech how it's the Titan's will.
Yeah, the Titan's will narrative is definitely just I wouldn't say lazy writing. I would say more like, so they don't have to explain it yet, and so it can be hyped up a lot more than it could be if they just oh, this is what this means, by the way. Enjoy, have fun.
Yeah, it's pretty standard issue writing scheme, but I'll forgive it.
Yeah, definitely a more basic writing scheme in a much more unique type of show.
In classic sad Disney premiere fashion, the episode ends on a pretty low note. So the chances of rescuing Rain are looking extremely slim. Belos is more popular than ever. And Kikimora is not in a good place mentally.
Oh no, Kikimora needs emergency therapy. Right now. It just has to happen.
She needs to request time off immediately.
I don't think she can. I don't think Belos has good vacation hours.
You're probably right.
I really don't think the emperor of a world can gives really good vacation hours, you know?
Yeah, you're probably right on that, but so that's about the end of the episode.
Yeah.
I've been talking for a
You
long
really have, honestly, and I do thank you. I've been very stressed the past few days with I have a lot of things going on in life.
time. I understand. And so, do you want to take the time to talk about some of the episode premises that got shown on Twitter?
I would have to find how about you find them? I have a couple announcements I have to make.
Of
So
course, I'll let you do
you
that.
find them actually. That'll definitely be very useful. Basically, going forward, Baron's going to be the permanent host, co-host with me, sticking around.
Yes, excellent.
We are very excited. Just a quick girl. Everyone, you better be clapping at home if you're not. I don't know, some punishment that I couldn't think of in time. Like, I definitely think we vibe well. The reception I've got is that we vibe well, and I think that this is going to be definitely, hopefully, a co-host that sticks around. Inside jokes, inside jokes. The old co-host might be back for a reunion at some point. I'm gonna see if I can set that up for a follower, or not follower, excuse me, play milestone, but no promises. Another announcement is I am a VTuber now. I have a fully rigged VTuber model that was done by my amazing friend, who goes on by the name online of Beastings, which I will link his Twitch and my Twitch down in the description of this episode. My first stream is tomorrow. I will be streaming Don't Starve Together with Beastings, and we will be vibing out, and I'll be testing out VTubing, and I hope that at least one of you listening will come check it out. But if you don't, I still love you. So that is definitely, and that's been taking up so much of my time. It's why I haven't been able to be super duper conversive in this episode. I've been planning this. I've been working out kinks with having to figure out how to use Parallels to run Windows on my Mac, because I have a Mac. Yes, a Mac user, so my opinion is irrelevant. Scott the Waz reference. Like, definitely. It's been a lot, and I've also had standardized testing at school at the same time, so my stress has been very high the past few days. And I've had a lot to do and haven't been had a lot of time to kind of just decompress. So that is just kind of what's how my life's going. Now, Baron, how about you? Any life developments?
No, my life is surprisingly stable.
Lucky bitch. Okay.
Hey, I did a lot of praying to some pagan goddesses. It took a lot.
Oh
But
my God.
is that the end of your announcements?
It should be. Check out Twitch, please. Drop a follow. I want to get affiliate so I can make money. Thank you. Love you. On to some Owl House news.
Right, of course. So, all right. So, I have the episode premises for the April episodes right now. So I don't have the one. There is going to be one released next Saturday, correct? Or is
Yes.
it?
Yeah, let's quickly breeze through these. Running out of time. I have to go to bed because it's late at
Right, of
night and
course.
testing. So,
So
yeah, breeze through these.
all right. So we got the first April episode. It is titled Any Sport in a Storm, and the premise is Hunter goes undercover at Hexside for his most important mission yet. Meanwhile, Willow is determined to succeed in an exciting new sport. We saw a promo in the promo of what may be from this episode of Hunter getting grabbed by what may or may not be some of Willow's plans. So, any of you Huntlow shippers out there, get your pencils ready. You're about to get a lot new material.
Huntlow shippers, stand by. Just like Maralia shippers, stand by. I still ship them.
Next one, April 9th, titled Reaching Out. Amity wants to prove herself to her father, and Luz thinks she's found the perfect way to do it. Underground witch duels. So
Excited to see
is
that.
this going to be Is this going to be the episode where Alador reveals his true colors?
Alador doesn't have any true colors. If you read into Alador's character, like, specifically very well, this guy has zero brain cells and just cares about advancements of science. Think Shockwave from Transformers Prime. Same kind of vibe, but less logical. So, like, definitely, if it'll help increase productivity and research, he'll go for it. But if it doesn't give a crap. That's my stance on Amity's father. Continuing.
Perhaps. And then the next one. This one looks to be very interesting. April 16th, titled Them's the Breaks, Kid. Ida tells a story from her teen years, the day she met Rain Whispers.
I can't wait for that.
Oh boy, we got more Rada fuel.
Thank God, honestly. I love Rain and I love Ida.
Yeah, that one may add to the plot. It may just be very, very light and very fluffy.
That one's gonna be a plot dump.
Oh, absolutely it will. They're not going to waste an opportunity for plot.
They never really do.
Mm-hmm. Then up next, April 23rd, titled Hollow Mind, a magical mishap transports Luce and Hunter into a new mindscape. And this one is a twisted nightmare. So like with any sport in a storm, this may be we've seen this possibly in one of the promos, and it is based on the information so far. It could possibly be Luce and Hunter enter Belos's mind. Maybe.
Oh my god. Oh. God damn it, can it be the end of April?
Yep. And then the last one of April revealed in this thread, April 30th, titled Edge of the World. This one is going to be big.
I think that
King's quest to uncover his past leads to shocking revelations and horrifying truths. So we saw a bit of this in the promo where we're seeing more of King's species. What's that going to reveal?
I have a prediction that King's past is somehow intertwined with Belos's past. Like they're connected in some way, whether King was Belos's or King's father was Belos's pet. Or whether King was Belos's pet before giving up or whatever. I think that they have some sort of intertwined connection. That's my prediction.
And considering they took the time in Knock Knock Knocking on Hootie's Door to give King new, I'm just going to call them scream powers.
Which we have not ever seen used again. Except for that one time in a different episode. But other than that.
But it will certainly be important, and it may or may not be the episode that ties up the B plot of King finding about his past.
They got to start wrapping up plots soon. So I don't know if the Ida telling a story about her past episode will wrap up the Rada plot, but there's a small chance that it might be the wrap up, with the exception of like in one of the season three specials that they get back together again, or Rain dies. I could see it going either way, but I have a feeling that this episode will be the final episode.
You really think they're going to kill Rain?
They're gonna kill off one and very important character for a heart-wrenching moment in one of those three specials. I know it. I can see it, and it's Rain's looking like a likely candidate. Maybe someone like Gus. Someone's gonna die.
If anything, and this is my personal thing, the one who's got a ton of death flags is Kikimora.
Maybe, but that wouldn't be a gut-wrenching moment, unless they do it Shadow Weaver style. Mm-hmm. Which I can't see them doing, because Kikimora's gone way too far off the deep end. It has to be Rain, Gus, Or if they really wanted to do it, like Willow has to sacrifice herself to bring Luz back to the human world. Wait.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
We've got a lot of pain lined up for April.
Definitely. I think it's going to be great, though. I'm excited. And we do have one more episode in March, or at least we should, which we have no information about. Love that. Love that. Well,
guess we'll just have to wait for next Saturday.
I can't wait.
My case this Friday.
Next Sunday for me, baby. Or whenever it pops up on hopefully not a legal website. Because I refuse to give Disney money.
So do I. Don't give Disney money, kids.
We explained ever. It in the last episode. Don't give Disney money.
Mm-hmm. Don't go to Disneyland. Universal is way better.
Don't watch YouTube videos from Disney YouTube channels. Don't be Disney Plus subscriptions, cancel them. Don't be watching Disney TV. Anyways, I'm gonna wrap this up now.
All right. I said all I've needed to.
Same. Thank you guys so much for watching. Twitch is down below. Baron, is there anything you would like to shout out?
I would just like to remind you again, please give this podcast a like. I don't know how these podcast platforms work. And make sure to follow me on Twitter. That is at Craik_Korn. I would gladly appreciate it.
Have to vouch for that.
To wrap up, this has been Animosity with Baron Craik and Jackpot. And I would like to wish you all a good evening.
Definitely enjoy the rest of your day, morning, evening, night, noon, wherever. If you're on the moon, figure that one out yourself. Bye.